This is Get a Real Job, the podcast devoted to people who choose risk over safe bets, who pursue their passion against all odds and are doing what they want, how they want, despite people and sometimes the voices in their own heads telling them they're nuts.
When the field that I wanted to work in didn't exist, I created it.
The only thing you have to decide is how hard do you want to work.
I really never went into the design of the restaurant of not succeeding. One way or another, I was going to succeed.
I'm your host, Dan Bova, editorial director of Entrepreneur.com. Thanks for listening. And now, get a real job. In 2003, a little game called Call of Duty was released. And since then, the gaming powerhouse has generated more revenue than the Marvel Cinematic Universe and double that of the box office of Star Wars. All the Star Wars. In your face, Baby Yoda. Okay, that is freaking insane, and today's guest is going to give us all kinds of insights into what makes this thing tick. Please welcome the Call of Duty League Commissioner, Joanna Farris. Joanna, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So, does it really make that much money? My God.
It's a huge franchise, that's for sure.
Well, that's incredible. I have to admit, I am awful at every video game ever made, from Pitfall back in the day to Call of Duty, but I admire the art and the creativity that goes into them. Why do you think this game in particular is so insanely huge?
It's a mega brand. You know, Call of Duty has been able to position itself as so much more than a game for so long. I think that's part of why you see so many A-listers and household names, some of the biggest stars across music and sports and entertainment. They're spending so much time playing Call of Duty. They're huge Call of Duty fans, yeah. Because the brand has been able to become more than just, right, your individual gameplay. It's really a community. It's really an entertainment property by every stretch of the imagination. It's been amazing to be a part of that.
That's awesome. And just a funny thing. So years ago, I was doing a story where I was profiling a bunch of guys who were special operators. They were Navy SEALs, Green Berets. And then we were on this training mission. And in their downtime, they were playing Call of Duty. And I was like, you guys do this in real life. Don't you get enough of this? And they're like, no, this is awesome. We love it. I was like, wow.
Yeah, you'd be amazed how many times you would hear that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And again, from some of the biggest stars in the world, it's wild.
That's awesome. So can you give, obviously, these are huge, huge numbers, and everyone knows what Call of Duty is. But for the kind of non-gamers, can you give us a sense of the fan base, like how many millions of people are playing this, and also just from the professional side of it, like how much money is at stake with these players and with your league?
Yeah, we're already talking about a franchise that has amassed more than 200 million players. And in many respects, it's grown significantly even in just the last, call it year plus. You know, it's been a renaissance of sorts for Call of Duty once again here since last fall in 2019. It went mobile to the tune of 100 million downloads even in its first week. And maybe even more importantly, COD Mobile was so wildly popular in regions of the world that even the mainline game in Modern Warfare or even Black Ops Cold War that we're enjoying right now has not been as dominant, right? So all of a sudden, you're really seeing a global takeover, once again, having stretched into a mobile platform experience. And then you have Warzone. You have this huge, you know, new move into free-to-play, a BR, a Battle Royale mode. So for those who are kind of new to the space, you think sort of Fortnite has been the reigning name in the game for many years now, and Warzone, you know, overtook that title in terms of popularity in the last couple of months here. And so that's one of the reasons why when we think about the esports piece, how we can level up what it means to be a professional player, yeah, in this community is not only just the tip of the hat to how skilled these athletes really are. But you think about how many people in the world they have to be better than.
Yeah.
It's really tremendous to start to think about, you know, what it means to put in that type of training, put in that type of craft. But these are true superstars because of just the sheer breadth and depth of where the franchise has been able to go all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's to be the best out of 200 million people playing that, that's you've got to be pretty good. So can you describe your role as the Call of Duty League Commissioner? Like, what does that entail? Are you any good at this game? Is that a prerequisite? Are you one of the best players in the world?
I am most definitely not one of the best Call of Duty players in the world.
Okay.
But I love to play. My husband and I play often on our nights at home, and it's a great way, again, to socialize, to bond. You'll hear that a lot from us as a franchise. Again, it's not just how you can have a great individualized experience, but these are social networks.
Yeah.
And they're really the social networks of tomorrow in many ways. You think about how you can drop in and play against people from all over the world. And it's really borderless in that way, and create new social connections that are oftentimes lifelong, deep camaraderie coming through gameplay with gamers from different countries speaking different languages, but they all have, you know, a shared bond and a shared love for Call of Duty. And the same goes for myself and, you know, my family members. And to your first question on, you know, the role of commissioner, not that dissimilar in terms of key stakeholders that, you know, traditional commissioners likely have to navigate. I came from the NFL. I know it very well. So you're working day in and day out with owners of our team franchises. You're working day in and day out with our players and thinking about the player experience and the competition operations that need to go into a match and on game day. And then certainly thinking about our product on the whole, right? What do fans need? How do we bring this more into the mainstream? And how do we deliver top-notch viewing and attendee experiences that can rival some of the best competitive entertainment and sports league experiences out there?
So we've heard, we've seen how various commissioners of other leagues and associations have dealt with the pandemic, you know, from the Adam Silver bubble to the way the NFL is handling it. How have you approached it, and what's its impact been to league play?
Yeah, we were impacted like many back in March when the situation with the COVID pandemic was getting particularly egregious here in the U.S. We were about four live stadium events into our season last year when we really had to take that pause. But while that was incredibly challenging, I think one of the most inspiring things to me, not only about the role, but about the team here, is that every single person, not only at Activision Blizzard, but across every one of our teams, our entire player base, even our community of fans, rallied together to get back on track in a matter of weeks. And a lot of that speaks to the power of esports. We were able to harness cloud-based technology. We were able to harness some of what esports grew up as. It was an online experience for many decades. And so it was a little bit of a return to our roots in that way that may have been less foreign territory for us in the league than maybe traditional entities, right? And so to face that challenge head on, and despite not being able to continue with our live event world tour, but still scale, still see, you know, subscriber counts grow on our YouTube channel, still crush our historic watermarks as far as viewership for the postseason and have the most watched Call of Duty esports event in history for our championship weekend, that spoke to the resilience of everyone involved with this league, but also I think the power of these virtualized digital first experiences that I think stood for something even bigger than our league. And we've been seeing a tremendous interest in esports ever since.
That's amazing. Now you know, commissioners, you know, in various sports, you know, we hear about them, you know, dealing with, you know, athletes, or, you know, how are we dealing with injuries? Are there too many games? Are there too many back-to-backs? You know, what are the kind of issues that that a Call of Duty athlete, you know, experiences that you're kind of helping, you know, figure out solutions for?
It's a great question. You know, a lot of what sometimes surprises people who are new to the esports conversation is just how arduous the training is for this sport. We have, our players are, you know, on the grind, as they say, for many, many hours a day, just like a professional athlete in a traditional sports sense would be. And they need guidance, not only on the field of play, so to speak, how to attack a map, what's the team strategy. There's a lot of skill-based positions in Call of Duty. So, you know, everyone has to really play their role and time it perfectly and really understand the terrain of any given mode and map combination when they do take the field. But there's all this off the field, so to speak, training that goes into it that we have to be supportive of as well. It's about nutrition. It's about health and wellness. It's about, are they getting enough sleep? Are they being physically active beyond what they need to do when they are, you know, really focused on the screen? So there's so much sort of inside and outside the game when we think about the whole athlete that goes into this. We even saw, you know, recently some coverage, unfortunately, with one of our biggest stars. He announced he was going to retire because he had a thumb injury in Zuma, who, you know, is a household name in the Call of Duty esports scene.
Right.
And, you know, that's always very unfortunate to see. But I think it also brought a lot more attention to, wow, a thumb injury for a professional Call of Duty player is a career-ending injury and so I think that those are just the things that we think about is, you know, what do they need physically, what do they need from an equipment standpoint, and then what do they need just much more holistically as people to make sure that they're supported, and we prioritize that here.
That's amazing. I would not have thought of that in a million years, to be honest, but obviously it makes sense as you say that. That's incredible. So you mentioned that you were at the NFL, and what was some of the kind of lessons you learned there that you've carried over to this role that have helped you in your role?
It's countless lessons. I you know, I would not be in this chair had it not been for the years of service that I had at the NFL, and being able to really understand in particular, not only how do you deliver a great fan experience and make a product that you're proud of and that your players are proud of to be affiliated with, but also protect and grow the interests of your investors, right? Your owners of the franchises. They have rights that they have exclusively harnessed to put Call of Duty esports in their cities, in their home markets. Many of them are in the process of building arenas of the future as we speak. Those will start to break ground here in the coming years, which is incredibly exciting for all of us involved. And so when we think about not only the experience for the fan and the player, but also the experience for the business and making a durable business off of it, that's really a lot of what we talked about endlessly at the NFL.
Right.
I also think that just the sheer structure, right? The ability to apply revenue models and partnership models that very much mirror what we were building at the NFL, to say there's a lot to be had at a global level and there's a lot to be had at a local city level. And if those two things are growing in parallel in a very healthy way, true scale can come from that and true return on investment can come from that in the coming year. So, you know, there isn't a day when I don't probably draft off of some of my learnings from the NFL.
Right, right. And so, you know, we've seen NFL teams, you know, move cities, and how do you you know, get loyalty from a brand new fan base? You know, what are some of the ways that Call of Duty or do you reach out to people, or is it just so popular that you don't really need to? I'm just wondering, like, how do teams grow their fan bases, and how do fans exhibit their loyalty to different teams?
More coming up from our guests, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Hey, everybody. So hoping these conversations are getting you all fired up to finally start that business you always wanted to launch, or maybe take that side hustle to the next level. But maybe you need just a little more inspiration and information to kind of push you over the edge. Well, that's why I want to talk to you about Entrepreneur Insider. Entrepreneur Insider is a program that we have at entrepreneur.com that is geared to do all of that and more. It's a membership-based program that provides insights and advice from industry experts with exclusive benefits. Let me tell you about those benefits. When you join, you get access to premium articles, videos, webinars, really good webinars, I should add. These are not boring, put you to sleep slideshows. These are great experts that have really, really sharp advice that you can listen to and use them like 10 minutes later. It's really good stuff. You also get a weekly newsletter, and you get an ad-free experience when you go to entrepreneur.com. Plus, you get a free one-year subscription to Entrepreneur Magazine, that paper thing that you could carry around and you never have to plug in to recharge. Really great articles every month, really awesome pictures. And sometimes it's nice to just read something on paper, I have to say, from my personal opinion. So how much does it cost to join Entrepreneur Insider? It's only $5 a month. If you join today, you start boosting your business knowledge, growing your brand, you get access to all these great things. And seriously, those webinars, they're really, really good. I heartily recommend you doing it just for that. And also the magazine, really cool stuff. So if you are interested, and I know you are because you could hear the pleading in my voice that this is actually a really cool deal, visit entrepreneur.com/insider to unlock your access today. That's entrepreneur.com/insider. Unlock your access, get going, get fired up, do it today.
And we're back.
Another great question, because, you know, we have to work very hard here to think about reach. How do we break through? We talk a lot about reaching more of our Call of Duty player base that's arguably bigger than it's ever been, and doing so in a way that not only isn't disruptive to the expectations they have as Call of Duty game players, but additive. So a great example of what I mean by that is, how do we reward tune-in? If you're a player of Call of Duty and you're curious about CDL and you're curious about some of the rivalries that are continuing to make headlines, whether that's between the new LA Thieves and Optic Chicago, or will Dallas Empire protect their throne, all the better if you can tune in and get rewarded in-game for that behavior. And so we're going to continue to think creatively about how we add value into a Call of Duty player's experience, not just as great competitive content, and not just because we've got the best of the best players playing the game that they too are playing, but also to drive, you know, real incentivized behaviors that we want to celebrate. So that's just one tactic around that. But a lot of data, a lot of fan segmentation work. What a Warzone player might want from CDL is very different from what a multiplayer player might want as a viewer. So we assess that, and we're just going to continue to try and get better and better at it.
That's amazing. As you're saying that, I'm thinking about, you know, even at Entrepreneur, when we're trying to figure out ways to get more people, we're always talking about, you know, how do we gamify this? How do we gamify this? And it is a game. So it's interesting. You're like gamifying within the game. It's pretty interesting what you've got going on there.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
So did you, about your career, was sports and competitiveness, was that something that you were drawn to? How did you get involved, and how did you get kind of on this path that's led you to your current position?
I was a multi-sport athlete growing up. I always dreamed of working in sports in some way. So in many ways, it's in my blood, it's in my DNA who have a real passion for sports culture, sports business. I think what drew me to this opportunity is how once in a lifetime it is for myself and many others, not only to just think about what a sports league of the future can look like and be able to design it and take it to the market and work with some of the brightest minds in business and in traditional sports and in esports specifically. But there's also true entrepreneurialism, I would say, in what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
It's so much about may the best ideas win and let's mine for them, not only around the company, but community ideas can be generated in a matter of seconds. You know, we are hyper listeners here, so we're always kind of tuning in to what the community of fans are saying across our social media stratosphere. And there's so much passion, I would say, for everyone involved to really do this and do this in a new and different and compelling way. And so you don't really get those opportunities to stake a claim on what new idea generation can look like, and let alone with the backing of a company as world-class as Activision Blizzard. You're certainly not alone. You're certainly not starting from scratch. And as we mentioned before, you're standing on the shoulders of one of the biggest entertainment properties in the world. So it's just this really amazing moment in time for us to cultivate something new, but harness all the legacy and the power of what Call of Duty stands for and what Activision Blizzard stands for to do it well.
That's amazing. And I'm sure, so there's probably a lot of people out there. I mean, just the sheer number of people that play these games, you know, listening to this, who desperately want to be involved in esports from, you know, the professional end of it, and being a professional player aside, you know, what do you say to people who, you know, have a mind for business or an entrepreneurial spirit? Like, how do you get the foot in the door in esports? And, you know, what are some things that you recommend for people to kind of get them on that path?
Well, the first piece I would say is really tune in. And I don't necessarily even mean tune in to our broadcast. I mean, follow some of our biggest, you know, names in the CDL, for example. You know, see what they're saying. Get a gauge of our team's content. It's everywhere. You can follow, you know, Scump and Clayster, C6. These are things that may sound like foreign names to some of the listeners, but these really are the LeBrons of their sport.
Mm.
And what's also awesome is they're so giving with how they interact with their fans. They are influencers in and of themselves and some of the biggest names in all of gaming. And what you can learn by just tracking and being a part of that community on social media or searching for Call of Duty League content on YouTube, you'll learn very, very quickly sort of who are the major players, what are the major storylines I should be looking for, why is it huge news that 100 Thieves just joined the Call of Duty League in the form of the LA Thieves. It's all there. It's really a click away. So I would definitely recommend, you know, diving in and letting that sort of wash over you from an education standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece I would say is be great at what you do, right? Like, I never expected to have the job that I have. I didn't even expect that this job would exist
yeah.
in my lifetime. Right. but, you know, if you're really focused and you really have a mind for entrepreneurial endeavors and you want to do big things and you want to do things maybe at a speed that is quicker than maybe more traditional, more established entities can move, then esports is absolutely a place that you should lean in. But we're looking for the best professionals. We're looking for the best lawyers, the best leaders, the best game developers, the best PR leaders. So, you know, and I can go on and on. It's really about specializing in your craft. And if you're great at what you do and you have that working knowledge of what's really going on here, because it is so accessible, you will find a way into this space, because there's so much that's emerging. It's only at this infancy stage, I'd argue, in terms of becoming a really sophisticated industry.
That's awesome. That's incredible. So for those of us who are, you know, casual fans What are some of the bigger events that we should put on our calendar to check out and maybe kind of amp up our fandom when that event is over?
Well, all eyes are on tomorrow. We actually get started with our preseason tomorrow over the course of the next 2 days here, Saturday and Sunday, for our kickoff classic. And that's great because that's the first time not only will our fans see our 2021 season of teams go head to head, but it also was voted on by fans. So we really like bringing on more opportunities for our fans and our community to have a say. And it was awesome to see, you know, the creativity by which we're having fan voted matches. So we know that these are matches that our fans really want to tune into, even in the preseason. And then, of course, you know, in a couple of weeks here on Thursday, February 11th, that's when we begin. Opening weekend is going to be really week one of our regular season. And we have everyone focused on that moment to showcase all 12 teams. And every week of the season this year, all 12 teams will be competing in a much more stage-based format where, you know, stage one begins on the 11th and it will culminate some weeks later with a major 12-team tournament. And we're going to do that 5 times over the course of the regular season. So really diving in now is a great primer, one, to understand some of these big storylines. But, you know, as we go here, the stakes will get higher and higher, and we couldn't be more excited to drive it home.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for dialing in. Really appreciate it. Really, really amazing stuff. League Call of Duty League Commissioner Joanna Ferris, thank you so much. And one day, if I could clear one level of Angry Birds, maybe then I'll have enough courage to play my son in Call of Duty, but I doubt it.
Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Take care.
That's our episode, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Get a Real Job comes out every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you harvest your favorite podcasts. Leave us a review, give us a share. Don't make me beg people. Go to entrepreneur.com for new episodes of this and to listen to our other great podcasts. Thanks.